word, I'll show you three scriptures, that being one of them, love others as you love yourself. They're similar but have different meanings on how we are to love others. So I'll divide this message into three parts, and that'll cover those three scriptures. So part one is to look at that scripture. And in researching this, I didn't realize how integrated this command is throughout the Bible, in the Old Testament and throughout the New Testament. So let's look at Matthew 22. Matthew 22 and verse 39. Let's start back in verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him, as Christ, asked Christ a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Christ said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And verse 40, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So Christ even referred back to the Old Testament, the law and the prophets, in relation to these statements about loving God and your neighbour as yourself. So there's three things to learn in this set of scriptures here. Is first, that we're to love God first. That secondly, we're to love your neighbour as yourself. And thirdly, something that I didn't appreciate was that the commandment doesn't say to love yourself. It says to love God and others. In the psychology circles, there's a bit of a movement that says you have to love yourself before you can love others. And partly I agree with that, but there's things you can do to love others even if you're struggling. So let's go to Leviticus 19 and look at where Christ quoted that scripture from, Leviticus 19 and verse 18. Starting in verse 17, "You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall in any wise rebuke your neighbor and not suffer sin upon him." And verse 18, "You shall not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." So this is an instruction from God to the ancient Israel, saying to love your neighbour as yourself. So if we are struggling in our lives, in our relationship with ourselves, like how we view ourselves, how can we love others? Or for that matter, how can we love ourselves? Life is tough. We carry through life the baggage of human frailty. We take our past with us, our environment, how our families treat us, and how we process life, how we think of ourselves. It's by design, God created us as human to be weak and to call us to perfection. So when Lucifer was created, he was created amazing. But Lucifer went to the dark side. And God's created us frail and weak so that we can glorify God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1. And we'll read to verse 29. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish and wisdom of this world? Verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. In verse 24, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, now that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty and not many noble are called. Verse 27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base of the world and things which are despised has God chosen, yes, and things which are nothing to bring to nothing things which are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So Lucifer was created amazing and gave himself that glory and wanted more and was counted unworthy. God calls us when we're weak and gives us the knowledge and wisdom so that we can glorify God. And if you read in verse 31, it finishes that set of scriptures with saying that according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. So what are some of the things that can cause us to stumble or limit our love for others? I've got a few points here that we can at different times be limited in how we care or how we can love for others. So the first point is being self-focused. So these things can cause us to limit our love for others, or we can use them as excuses to not love others. First one is sickness. You know, we're all human, we all get sick. And sometimes our sickness prevents us from caring for others and loving others. Stress. You know, when we're stressed out with work or problems, we become disabled. Relationship problems. How we relate to other people. Whether it's someone close or someone at work or someone that you need, that can be very stressful and can limit how we relate to that person, how we love them and others. You know, when we're having relationship problems, it's very hard to care for other people. We're so focused on our pain and our suffering at the time. Financial pressure. I mean, that's something we all go through at times. We suffer financially. We find it hard to make ends meet. And that's really tough to be able to love others when you're struggling to look after yourselves financially. Emotional turmoil. So generally emotional turmoil is negative when we're afraid or worried. We're feeling anxious, and it's about how you feel, and that can be very real. You know, they're very real feelings, and those emotions are real. Maybe what we're worried about may not be real, but nonetheless, that can really disable us. Addictions limit how we can love others. If someone's got a gambling problem, that can soak up all of your finances and maybe those of the people around you. There's chemical addictions also. That can be a real struggle. Maybe negativity. If we view ourselves negatively, that I'm not worth it, I'm not worthy of this calling, or everything's going to go badly. Having bad thoughts about the future, worrying about the future, that can be really overwhelming, and you can struggle to cope with things yourself. Your own problems can be hard to focus on, let alone loving others. So these normal life pressures can limit our love for others. They can also become excuses too. We can maybe in some ways cling on to our problems as an excuse for moving forward. Another category, being materialistic. Like when you focus on collecting wealth or material possessions, it's hard to share with others. You're so focused on keeping it for yourself. There's a personality type called narcissism, where you are only focused on yourself to the exclusion of others. So it can become a personality type. It can become learned behavior. And that prevents you from loving others. And then there's the other end of this spectrum, where people can be codependent, where they help others all the time, and maybe not for them, but for themselves. So they're helping to get that thank you. They're helping to because they have to. And that can be unhealthy too. It can lead to burnout and unhealthy relationships between that caregiver and the person receiving the care. So, yes, God does call the weak of the world, and we can maybe identify with some of those aspects of our lives that prevent us from loving others. But there's things that we can do to remove those barriers. So if you're one to make excuses, then I've got 5 points here. The first two relate to excuses. So the first one is, get rid of those excuses that limit you, and love anyway. Yes, we can be burdened with some of those stumbling blocks, but we can still help others. We can still love others. If you're a paraplegic in a wheelchair, you probably have a valid excuse for not going places and helping physically. But there's things that you can do as a paraplegic to help people. Getting on the phone and encouraging your friends. It's remembering people's birthdays. It's praying for them. There's things that you can do when you have something holding you back. I have a YouTube channel that I receive videos on. It's Zach Anna. And his workout series. Zach is a young man who suffers from cerebral palsy and has a struggle to walk and gets around in a wheelchair. But he does a video series on working out, and it's incredibly funny. He's got an awesome sense of humor. So he's on a treadmill struggling to walk, and it's going too fast. He ends up crawling on this treadmill. It is just hilarious to watch, but it's also truly inspiring to see someone that has a disability get out and do things that other people don't. So second, realize that you have other aspects of your life that you can love others. Three, and this third point is good for people that have a negative self-image of themselves. You are valuable to God, and God specially chose you. Let's go to Matthew 1. Matthew 1 and verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So God is saying that he's going to call people and Christ is going to save them from their sins. You are God's people. You've been called and set apart. Christ's love for you is beyond belief. And when a sinner repents, angels sing and rejoice. God and the angels rejoice when we repent. When we repented and were baptized, angels rejoiced. That is something that God thrives on when we're tuned into him. If you have self-destructive tendencies, and I can't think of anyone here in that way, but if you have suicidal thoughts or addictions, look after your temple. God gives his spirit to live in your body and your temple. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 6 and verse 18 through to verse 20. Flee fornication, flee every sin that a man does is without the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of God's Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not of your own? So our body is an important part. It's something we've got to look after. So fifthly, an antidote to materialism or self-focused and narcissistic personality is realize that every other human being is part of God's plan, and we can express God's love to them also. Let's not miss an opportunity to serve others. In Timothy, 1 Timothy, it talks about those who are wealthy, and I'm not saying wealthy people are materialistic, but it says in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute and willing to socialize, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may hold on to eternal life. So for those people that are blessed to have things, that's not a bad thing. God blesses us, and I guess in comparison to many people in the world, all of us are just incredibly blessed. So part one was love others as you love yourself. Now we move into part two, and that scripture is found in Matthew 7. Matthew 7 and verse 12. Therefore, all things, whatever you would do, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So it's saying, do unto others as you want them to do to you. This is slightly different from the first scripture of love others as you love yourself. This scripture is easier to understand because we can relate to how people treat us. And it's easier for us to understand how we would like to be treated. If you were poor, right, there's times in our lives we're financially stuck. If we were poor, how would we like people to treat us? You know, there's times that we would really need help. If we were sick, how would we like to be treated? So how we answer these questions is how we should be relating to other people. So when someone's struggling financially, how would we like to be treated? How should we treat them? If we were sick, would we like to be visited? Would we like people to show love for us when we're sick? Send us cards? How should we treat others when we're sick? Let's go to Matthew 25. Matthew 25 and verse 35. Or let's go back to verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you came to see me. And so God sets a standard here of how our lives should be. We can go through life forgetting about those ways to love people, but Christ sets the example here of how we are to love others. And in Matthew 7 it says, do unto others as you would want them to do to you. So how would you like to be treated if you were thirsty, a stranger, you know, without clothes, sick, or in prison? And I guess the same goes for some of the integrity type things. Let's go to Matthew 6. In Matthew 25 we looked at how we can physically care for others, but spiritually there's also some responsibilities too. Matthew 6 and verse 12, this is in the Lord's Prayer, it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So spiritually, the premise here is that we do forgive our debtors, so please God forgive me. So there's a relationship there between what we do and what we expect or ask God to do for us. And the same with mercy. If we show mercy, God's going to give us mercy in return. If we give to others, God will give to us and more. So let's look at part three, the third scripture about loving others. Let's go to John 13. John 13 and verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you may also love one another. So here Christ is saying, love one another as I have loved you. So Christ is commanding us to love others in a certain way. He's asking us to love others how he loved us. And this is an even higher standard, because Christ died for us. And that's the ultimate way of showing love for others. This commandment God gives us to love one another as I have loved you is not specific to gender. It's not male or female. This is for males and females. But let's go to Ephesians 5 and look at some specific instruction that helps us all understand how to apply this, but it's specifically related to men. Let's look at Ephesians 5 and verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a living, present himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. So we're back to that first scripture, love others as you love yourself. Men, love your wives as you love yourself. But here Christ is saying, go a step further. Men, be willing to sacrifice your life for your wife. It's sacrificing yourself for your wife. And ultimately, that's what God is saying in John 13:34. Love one another as I have loved you. That means that we're to sacrifice ourselves for others. Let's go to Romans 2. Romans 12. And verse 1 it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So we're to be a living sacrifice. We're not much good to love others if we're not here. God wants us to be a living sacrifice. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6. We read verse 18 before, but let's read verse 20. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So Christ died for us, he paid the price for our sins, and in so many ways we're owned by God. We are here to do God's will and to glorify God, and we can do that by showing love and concern for others. So Christ has shown us through the word that there's many aspects to this loving others. But the bottom line is we've got to get out there and do it. We have to show our love for others. Let's put off our excuses, if we have any. Let's overcome those things that are limiting us, and let's get out there and love others.